Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quirky podcast that brings you writing tips and life tips. I'm Sean, and with me as always is Carrie Jones, New York Times and international best-selling author, and awesome woman.
I'm also Sean's wife, so he has to say that. We always start our podcast with a random thought, and then we go into the writing tip and the dog tip. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Enjoy!
Hey, Sean K.
Hey, surprised me. I didn't know we were ready to roll.
Well, it's a random thought,
like,
man.
Not ready. It's going to be random right now.
Yeah. So I recently learned that people are stealing Legos and potentially selling them on a black market.
Why?
On the internet.
I mean, why on the black
market? Because they're stolen.
Well, I know, but you can't just resell them. How do they track them?
I don't know.
Like, how can they say that set came from this?
I don't know, but there's a story in The Guardian about how three people were stealing boxes of Legos from a toy store in Paris.
Yeah.
And they're going to sell them in Poland.
Really?
Yes. And the Guardian got that story from the Le Parisien or something.
Well, they are expensive as crap.
Yeah, and they have these, like, you know, deluxe limited edition stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a guy in Oregon in March, I think, who got arrested because he sold $7,000. More than seven.
That's only like three Lego sets.
Yeah, pretty much, man. But I think it's because they become collector's items. Like, we have a friend who like collects Pops, like the Funko Pops and stuff. And, you know, like, I don't know what's going on because he used to store them in the basement of a house that he's no longer living in. So I don't know where those. And it was full of, like, Star Wars and Pops. I told him he should make a museum.
Full of all kinds of toys.
Dude, I wanted Legos so bad when I was a kid.
You didn't have Legos?
No, we were too poor for Legos.
I had Legos, even.
Dude, you were not as poor as me.
We've already been through this, and I win every time.
So. No, you don't win every time.
You've never lived in a trailer. Boom, I win.
Because my dad built my old house before we got poor.
You never lived in a trailer.
But my dad built our house before we got poor and had to sell the house.
Let's not bore the people with an argument that I so obviously win.
You don't win. I bet it was a nice trailer. But it was nicer than my
house.
No,
we were renting it.
I still bet it was nicer than the house.
You didn't even own it. You owned the house. You had equity. Therefore, by virtue of finances, you were not as poor as we were.
We had commodity cheese, man, and I couldn't afford Legos like you, big spender.
I probably got them from my grandparents.
Well, my grandparents didn't love me.
Oh, well.
Don't believe in Legos, apparently. Hey, I'd steal some Legos.
This isn't about how poor I was.
All right, so also.
I'm going to go steal some Legos.
So also, I read recently in the New York Times, the hoity-toity New York Times, and we talked about this recently on another podcast, that there are indeed a butt ton of UFO sightings now during the pandemic because nobody has anything to do.
Oh, because everybody's at home all the time?
Yeah, and they're looking up in the sky and all these people from the city moved to the country or suburbia or went to their second homes and where they afford Legos and stuff. And, like,
probably spending a lot more time outside.
Yeah, to get away from their people.
Especially after dark.
Yeah, because, like, who wants to deal with your family all the time? And so, like, there's been an uptick, according to the New York Times, it doubled the sightings in New York.
Uh-huh.
Like, so it went from 150 a year to 300 a year. And that data is from the National UFO Reporting Center.
That was last year?
Yes. And then nationwide, it rose by 1,000 to 7,200. And ufologists.
Yeah.
Which is how you say UFO.
I see that.
Which I never knew.
Me neither. Well, you can't say UFOologist. There'd have to be another O in there. But
yes, ufologist.
Ufollies.
So now you can rhyme noof with youf if you're a poet or a rapper. So anyways, they're like, dudes, don't calm down. It's not an alien invasion, man. It's just more people are looking around and they're clueless.
Right. It makes total sense.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? The people from the cities who are suddenly seeing the night sky in the suburbs.
Well, the ufologist pretty much just shot themselves in the foot with that statement. You can't say, oh, it's because they're clueless. And that they're basically saying they're not UFOs. They're seeing a bright star.
Right.
Or a shooting star.
Yeah.
Or something. That's what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good.
Yeah, or drones, or right. The video blimp, or, you know, a million trillion things. Is there still a Goodyear
blimp? Have you ever seen the Goodyear blimp?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Where?
In Boston.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
you see it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, the hangar was right close to my house.
No way. Sure you was. Must have seen a lot of UFOs then.
No, saw a lot of Goodyear blimps. with the big signs on the side, you know, the light up signs on the side.
Yeah. Ufologists take it super seriously, you know, man. Like, they're just like...
Oh, I'm sure they do. They're just like the Bigfoot hunters.
No, they discount a butt ton of more things than the Bigfoot hunters, actually.
Hey, do aliens knock do tree knocks?
No, I don't believe aliens do tree knocks. And they don't howl like wolves or hoot like owls or mock human sounds. Oh, that'd be a
good parody
movie.
Good parody show.
Oh, my God.
Like, we're out in the woods doing tree knocks and an alien appears. Which people have already tried to say, big feet are just aliens.
Yeah, man.
That's why they
disappear
so easily and so fast.
You don't know.
I do know. UFOs aren't... Oh, well, UFOs. Aliens won't run around in some stinky old hot smelly furry suit as camouflage.
They're really interesting aliens. Maybe they're just cosplaying.
Wait a minute.
Maybe the aliens are cosplaying bears or humans and their costumes just are just a little off. Yeah.
I thought aliens were supposed to be a superior being.
Well, you know, it's not their culture, so when they appropriate our culture, they're going to get a little messed up. That would be cool.
That could account for a lot of people I've met in my life. Just a little off.
Apparently, since more people are scanning, like,
Scott.
Because of the pandemic, they're also thinking that the resurgence in interest is not just because people are bored or trying to skip their family, but also because of the Pentagon's recent thing last summer where they said that they're going to make a new task force.
Oh, the Space Force or whatever it's called?
No. Space Force is a different thing. That's a military branch. So this is just like we're going to investigate quote-unquote unidentified area.
Ah, phenomenon. I got you.
And it declassified 3 sightings, remember, and everybody got all excited. Mm-hmm. We'll put a link to this in the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Sweet.
Yeah. And like it's part of a 2.3 million trillion. I can't even think of numbers that high because I'm such a poor girl from that past. But that former President Trump signed that they said, hey, Secretary of Defense, hey, Director of National Intelligence, you two collaborate and make this UFO report. And then we're going to give it to the pubs. Not the bars, but the publics.
The pubs. That'd be a good thing to do too. Hey, read this while you're getting drunk. Hey, what do you call a statement that is like self-defeating, like it doesn't make sense in the end?
Stupid.
No. There's a name for it.
A husband arguing.
I'm not arguing.
I don't know what.
This is that statement. Director of National Intelligence.
Oh, it's an oxymoron.
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's mean. That poor director. Whoever you are,
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the nation.
Speaking of the nation.
Yeah.
Did you know that there was a goat that was a peeping Tom and got arrested?
You can't arrest a goat, but anyways.
It was in North Carolina. Maybe they have different rules than in Maine where we are.
But
according to an AP Wire story that originally showed up in the Charlotte Observer last Tuesday in Greenville, which is a college town, if people don't know North Carolina. And there was a goat, and the goat was hanging out around the windows of a house.
Yeah.
Like looking in, chilling out. Not being super sneaky. Not a good peeping Tom goat. This goat was not the best of voyeurs because he was noticed.
Is he knocking on the windows by accident with his head or something?
Yeah, pretty much. And they took him to the animal shelter and his owner said, quote, that he was in house arrest.
Uh-oh.
Oh, funny. No. I want a goat.
Actually, his owner was probably the real peeping Tom.
Yeah, maybe the goat.
He was on the opposite side of the house. No. The goat was.
You're making this up. People are gonna believe it. You know
what? What am I making up
about the poor owner of the goat?
Well, he shouldn't be peeping.
Maybe it was a girl's goat.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The gender, you know, we just assumed that matter. Goat was a boy.
That's because people always assume Peeping Tom was a boy.
But that's really interesting. Maybe it was a girl goat. Are girl goats voyeurs?
I don't know. I think probably all. I don't know much about goats, but I think they're pretty.
You know it all, because you are the goat.
The greatest of all time, baby. Yeah. The goatest of all time. Writing tip of the pod.
So this week, you goat. Okay, that sounds like a sheep.
No, that's more of a.
Oh, nice. You know all the animal noises.
Some of them intimately.
I knew you were gonna. All right, so this is not about Sean and animals, although maybe it is. It's about bee stories. Now that we're in the try to be helpful part of the podcast. Kind of
movies you're always making me watch.
No.
Oh, okay.
So, bee stories. We're about to explain it. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So, this screenwriter guy, Blake Snyder, has this method of how to create the structure of your movie, which people use also for novels. And it's called the save the cat method. And he made the term or lingo bee story and A story really popular. But sometimes for us writer people, the B story gets us all confused. So basically, especially since you're not a writer person.
It's really funny. Got me confused.
I know. So let's go over the terms first. So what is an A story and a B story? An A story is a book or a movie's big essence. People call it the dramatic core. Why are you laughing?
Well, you didn't give me a chance to answer the question, but...
All right, what's an A story?
I was thinking the A story was like, that's... the lie you're telling and you're going to stick to no matter what. But for some reason, that lie falls through. You've got your B story in reserve, right?
You're such a naughty human being. No, it has nothing to do with that. Everyone listening, it has nothing to do with that. Erase that out of your head, okay? Ready? Erased?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So the A story is the book or the movie's big essence. It's the dramatic core of the story. It's the big plot line. Notice I say big often to Sean because it helps his ego. But it's the big plot line that the hero of the story follows on her journey. But the B story is the subplot, basically. It supports the A story like a good bra. And it sometimes feels absolutely unrelated to the A story, but lots of the times it kind of feels related. The Flying Wrestler blog, which is the best name for a blog.
It is.
Defines it as your baby.
It's a secondary story that has its own beginning, middle, and end, and is focused on its own problem. Separate from, but intertwined with the A story.
Right, man. So, if that doesn't help, the script mag writes...
The B story is your character's secondary motivation or mission. The other thing they have to accomplish. Your B story may be a second problem or issue that your main character has to fix. And while your A story presents itself at the inciting incident and is solidified at the end of the first act with the acceptance of the adventure, your B story often can't be identified until the second act begins because it's what it is illuminated by the adventure beginning. Ooh, almost passed out.
I know, it's a long quote bit.
Good God.
So the Flying Wrestler blog again says, I'm going to read this one so you have a moment.
Yeah.
Just like the main A story, the B story's main character should have a problem involving something external, which has its own significant life stakes. That means the problem isn't only an internal issue like, oh, I need to feel loved, but it involves their need to grow and change in some way. So the question becomes... when you're writing, does my story have a B story or is it all A? You don't have to have a B story, but it's super helpful. You ready for a big quote?
Oh, I'm ready, man.
All right, this one's from the Flying Wrestler. Take a big breath, baby. Our B story right now, you know what it would be?
I love your A stories.
No, our B story right now is whether or not Shawnee can survive all the quotes in the podcast.
Oh, I can do it.
And the A story will be, can we even make a podcast?
Of course we can. We do it every week.
I don't know. I always worry. Okay,
the
so anyway.
The classic use of B story in a movie is a romantic relationship that is secondary to a non-romantic A story.
Yeah.
The potential romantic partner often pressures the main character, intentionally or not, to deal with their stuff and consider changing. But as with most such internal growth, the character doesn't engage in it willingly, with growth as the goal. No, characters, like real people, tend to avoid change until really significant external problems force them into it. Typically, the pressures of both the A and B story problems combine to do that. But even then, the hero usually doesn't really change until some key moment in the final act where they usually snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. But first, both A and B story usually reach a rock bottom, all is lost moment. So if the B story is about our relationship, it's usually broken and over at that point, as are the main character's hopes for their A story goal. They will have one last chance to try to solve both in the final act.
Again, that is from The Flying Wrestler. And script, and it continues to say, if the B story is a romantic relationship, something has to be in the way of it. Like, it has to be focused on a conflict and not going well. If two people fall for each other and get together and have a lot of sex, I knew you're gonna be excited about that word, without some looming threat to their relationship, that's not a story. That's a positive development for the main character. And we audiences get bored by positive developments. We thrive on problems and conflicts. Thus, we create political systems. Thank
Just
you,
Flying
Wrestler.
Can't keep it out of there, can you?
I can't. So Script Mag also gives a really great example. Direct quote here, Boo Bear.
The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy's A story is to find the wizard and get home, but the B story becomes helping Oz and her new friends. She had no idea she was going to have to do that until the adventure began.
Right, in the second act, boom, she's in Oz. So usually when a crisis happens, the B story acts like John Wayne in a movie and comes in and saves the A story. They merge and the reader's like, ah, they were connected the whole damn time, go! The reader sounds like Homer Simpson. But this is true about life too, right? We all want to become writers, but then we have a B story of another career or self-sabotage or like having to actually make money. And we might resist our calling to writerdom. And then it's like, what? Will our B story come in and save our A story? But that's about us writers and not our actual books. So let's get back to books, right?
Yeah, man.
All right. So the B story or subplot changes how you see or how the reader sees the main plot, right, baby?
Uh-huh.
So what's our big question right now?
What does the B story actually do for you?
Ah.
Because it's all about you, right?
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Everything's all about you.
So first off, it allows you to bulk out your story, but it can sometimes add too much bulk to your story. It's like you have too much oatmeal. Fiber in the beginning of the day, and then the whole day, poop. So it can also help with pacing and structure. It's especially helpful if you make things really dangerous for those minor characters early on while things are kind of still in the setup for the main characters. This is a bit of a variant from Snyder's plot form, which tends to insert the B story at the end of Act 1, but you don't always have to follow the rules.
Huh.
How about you tell us the next one? What else does it allow?
It allows you to skip boring scenes in the A story sometimes. How does it do that? By creating a jump to another character or another moment slash interest.
Right. So if you do use other characters to carry out that B story, then you have to make sure the reader is interested enough in those other characters. Like in Lord of the Rings, Tolkien puts everyone into smaller units. Like they all break up on their mission, right, man? So they each get their own goals. Their stories have beginning, middles, ends. And then each group gets their own plot lines. And then the finale, every one of those groups matters.
What?
I know, right, babe?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, writing tip of the pod.
Don't be afraid to be complicated.
No, man.
A good novel isn't a picture book, and you want there to be a subplot.
Yeah. You want it to be a rich, rich world, right?
Rich. Very rich.
You don't want your peeps and their goals to be one-dimensional.
No.
Like, you want a husband who loves you for you and not just because you're fun to cuddle.
I love you for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
And I love your A stories.
But do you love my B stories?
No, you said your B stories are like a good bra because they support your A stories.
Oh, no. I can't believe you went back to that.
I have a question.
Oh, no. I don't know.
So in the show we've been watching.
Yes.
Where the girl...
Yeah.
Does the deed with the other guys. Is that the B story?
Season one of Search Party.
I was trying not to ruin it for anybody.
It's been years. We're the only people still watching.
Oh, it's old?
Yeah, man. It's had five seasons.
Oh, always so far behind the
curve.
You're
way far behind.
So she sleeps with a PI in the name of...
Yeah, the A story is a bunch of people are trying to find out what happened to their someone who they went to college with. But then the B stories would be like, are these people going to stay together? Is this person going to be found out for lying about something?
They all really have like, a B story, right?
They all have B stories. And then they all merge in the finale, right? Boom.
Yeah, crazy.
Magic.
Dog tip for life.
So, baby, that's a goat. Or was that?
I don't know if that's a sheep or a goat.
Can you do a cow?
Not really.
Can you do a Bigfoot?
No.
Can you do an alien?
No.
Come on.
Nobody's ever heard
improv.
Either one of those creatures
improv.
For sure.
You're the worst improver ever. You're never supposed to just say no to your partner like that.
That's what I tell you every night.
Oh. You know, Obama.
Besides, aliens communicate with telepathy. What am I thinking right now, baby?
You're thinking that we should do the dog tip for life.
We started with a do.
Okay. So our dog, Sparty, gave us, he's a little chubby dog.
He's not little. He's medium size.
But he's very chubby. But he's large now. And he basically says, you know, he works his magic in his life by being able to shake, being able to implore you to do things telepathically, and he can lay down.
By shake, you mean like give you his paw?
Yeah, he gives paw. He like knows tricks, right?
He knows a couple tricks,
and he knows that those tricks all work to get his objective, which is to get some food, right?
Yeah.
So like a dog, you want to like really have an objective in your life. Right? But you don't want to be so focused that it's the only thing you do. Like, you don't want to be so focused that you only eat and only have writing as your pastime or being mean to your wife as your pastime or mocking her. Instead, you want to have multiple goals and live your life to the fullest. You don't want to just be an A story. You want to have a B story and a C story and a D story and a double E story.
That's too big, baby. Double E's too big.
I think I'm a double E.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I think
no, you're not.
You know nothing.
I do. I know exactly where things land on my hands.
Babe.
To measure by. Hey, thanks for listening. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast all over the place.
So I can make my $5 a year.
Carrie really needs that $5.
I need it so bad, man. And we'd like to shout out to Broke for Free, which created the track Summer Spliff. And that music is clipped and shortened in this podcast and is made available through the Creative Commons license.
That's awesome.
Hey, buy my books.
Yes, buy her books.
And find out more about us on carriejonesbooks.blog. We have another podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Live on Fridays.
It's fun.
And awesome.
Well, it's fun for me.
Yeah, Sean.
But please join us. 7 o'clock, Friday night.
It's all about loving the strange.
And it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good day.